All right. Okay, let's open up our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. And I want to read a text from Matthew chapter 4. This is early on in Jesus' ministry. And from this point on, of course, it just gets bigger and bigger. And more people come to follow and to listen to Jesus. And he ministers to people, which Jesus is all about. But look at this text. It's Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, and the paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So as Jesus is going out and sharing the message of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, more and more people are being touched. But not only that, he is ministering to people's physical needs as well. And so people are coming from all over Syria. Now this is interesting. Syria, of course, is a whole different country than Israel. And then you look at the Decapolis, that was a Gentile area. So there were people that were Jewish that were coming from Judea and Jerusalem. They were coming from all over, all different walks of life. And Jesus was meeting people where they were at. And it didn't really matter what they were ill with. Various diseases, it tells us here. Some of them were suffering severe pain. And, you know, you look at this list and you go, this list still applies to today. And the reason it applies to today is because we live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. And of course, because of our Adam and Eve, our first parents' big boo-boo in eating of the tree, death has come upon all men and as a result of sin. So we live now in these fragile, failing bodies that all of them have a shelf life. You know, you can do all, you can eat as many veggies as you want to and eat, you know, the healthiest diet in the world and all that. But I think it's probably good for you to try to take care of yourself like that. But ultimately, death is the destiny of every man if the Lord does not come. So, you know, we want to do our best to take care of ourselves, but sometimes we get sick. Sometimes stuff happens. And I think as we get older, you start to realize it more. And so there were people that were coming with severe pain. Of course, the demon-possessed. Now, this is interesting because in about one-third of all the miracles that Jesus performed were on people that were demon-possessed. And that manifested in a lot of different ways in their lives. But, you know, we don't even think about demon possession hardly at all in our culture anymore, unless it's crazy extreme. But, you know, back then, there were a lot of people that were suffering with demon possession, demon oppression, and I think today there still are, except we don't recognize that. And so they go to the doctor, and the doctor gives them a pill to try to, you know, numb them or something, or, you know, that they've got some kind of mental illness perhaps. But sometimes I think it really is a spiritual issue. And then it says the epileptics and the paralytics, and he healed them. And so Jesus ministered to people where they were at. Now I'll turn over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, I love this verse because this is an invitation from Jesus himself. Now, it was an invitation that was, of course, spoken to people that he was talking to right then, but it's, I believe, an invitation that is open-ended. It has not ended. And so here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I love this promise. It's one of the first verses I ever memorized as a Christian, and it's always been one of my favorite promises because, you know, when you look at what he's saying, what Jesus is saying, he's telling us, inviting us, that when we're weary, when we're burdened, or some of your versions may say heavy laden, he says, come to me, and he said, then I will give you rest. And then he says, I will give you my yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then he says, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And so I love that. Twice he says, I will give you rest. And he says, you will find rest for your souls. And he says, the yoke that I will give you is easy, and the burden that I will give you is light. And so we're to give him our burdens. We're to cast our cares upon the Lord. He invites us to do this. Now, at this point, you're probably wondering, what are we doing here this morning, Pastor? Well, we're in between books. And when we do that, we like to take an opportunity, a window of opportunity, to allow the Lord to minister to the needs that are represented in this room. We call it Body Ministry Sunday. And so just a heads up, what we're doing is we just finished the book of Philippians. We went through that for several months, verse by verse. And the next time that I'm with you, Lord willing, on a Sunday morning, what we're going to do is we're going to start the book of Revelation. And so we will go through the whole book of Revelation, you know, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Then the last time that we did that, it took us, and I look back, I think I taught it back in 2000 and, I don't know, it was 12 years ago, whatever that was. A lot of years ago, 12 years ago, I taught the book of Revelation. And it took about, I think, 42 Sundays to do so. And so there's a lot in the book of Revelation, and I think when we go through it, we'll be learning a lot about the last days. And I think the majority of the book of Revelation, by the way, I believe is the last days stuff. What's going to happen in the last days? Now, some people try to allegorize it. Some people try to say it was fulfilled in 70 AD. I do not believe that at all. I believe it's prophetic. I believe it's literal. And I believe it's yet future. Most of it is still yet future. And so we're going to see God's prophetic plan for this world and what's going to happen in this world. And we're going to see what's going to happen in this world to people that are without Jesus. And we're also going to see what's going to happen to those who believe in Jesus, who have trusted in Jesus. And we can see that for those without the Lord, it's not a good future. It's bleak, it's dark for those that reject Christ, that are living for this world and for its desires and its lust. Because the Bible says the world and its desires, they're passing away. But you know, for us that are believers, it is a glorious thing what's going to happen, because we're going to be with the Lord ultimately. If you read the last chapter of the book, we win. That's what we learn. But it's like that saying that I've heard that, you know, without Jesus, we have a hopeless end. With Jesus, we have an endless hope. And so that's the difference. So we'll be looking at the book of Revelation. But like I said this morning, we're going to take a break from that. And we want to do some ministry stuff. We want to minister to you, to your needs. We want to bring your needs before the Lord in prayer. Why is this important? Well, Paul likened the church to a body. And he likened the church to a body, a human body. Just like the human body has many different parts. Each has its own important function. It's dependent upon the other. Your hands and your feet are dependent upon each other. Paul puts it like this, that the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. He continues, he says, if the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So when you look at the body and how the human body works, Paul's drawing a parallel with the church being a body, having different parts and having different functions, and each part has to do its work. You know, one of the things about the physical body, and you know this, you do this without even thinking, by the way, we do it all the time, but every day my hand and my eye work together. It's called hand-eye coordination. And it's good that we have it. Because can you imagine if you didn't have very good hand-eye coordination, or you had no hand-eye coordination at all? We went yesterday we were in a wedding this weekend, and we were in Las Cruces yesterday, and we went and we got an ice cream cone. And I love ice cream cones. And I was thankful that I had hand-eye coordination. Because when my hand was bringing my ice cream cone up, it didn't go and stick it in my eye, you know? That would have been kind of a bummer. But so we need that, and we use it all the time. We use it to write. We use it to turn pages. We use it, sometimes I use it when I'm golfing, sometimes. Most of the time not. You know, when you're driving. So our hands and our eyes, they work together on a constant basis. Same thing with our head and our feet. They work together. There's teamwork. My head says to my feet, go over there, walk that way. And I do it. My feet do it. And so they cooperate most of the time. You guys walked in here this morning, I noticed, most of you. And because that happened because your body parts had equal concern for one another. The eye showed you the way. Your brain sent instructions to your feet. So you walked. And some of you walked in, and I'm telling you, you walked and you sat down on your favorite spot. And the reason I know that is because I look around this room and some of you literally sit in the same spot every week. You know, I remember last time I talked about people doing that, being creatures of habit. It seemed like the next week everybody had this sinister plan and they all sat in a different spot and totally messed me up. So, because I usually know like, oh yeah, there's so-and-so. Yeah, they always sit over there. And I know like if they're not there, I'm like, oh wow, they're missing today. I wonder what's going on. See, so you mess me up when you do that. But anyway, but people do that. And so we're creatures of habit. But we see that our bodies work all the time in conjunction. Another thing that you probably have discovered is that if you've been around for a while, you know this is true. If one part suffers in your body, all of you suffer. The whole body suffers. And it's meant to be that way in the church as well, that we're to carry one another's burdens. And if someone is hurting or someone is suffering, that we're there for them. I don't know if you've ever had an injury. Of course, I know you have, right? You injure yourself and you're in pain or you've had surgery. At that point, all of your focus is on that part of the body that is hurt. I remember one time we were in YWAM right after Dee and I got married. We went to Youth with a Mission and we went on this missions trip and we were gone for 6 months. And we got back from Samoa and Fiji and we were in Hawaii and we were staying at this Christian school. And we just threw our sleeping bags on the floor and slept in the school. They were gracious to let us stay there. And it was neat and everything, but we were messing around in the evening. And the way the school was set up, there was a long hallway and it was a square. It went like this. And so me and this guy named Lamar were messing around. And I forgot what I did to him, but he was chasing me. I was only 22 years old back then. 21, 22, I was young. And so he's chasing me around and I'm running away from him. He's trying to catch me. And I decide to cut inside one of the classrooms. Well, the door was open and I hit my toe and my toe went like this. Yeah, it went to that way. And it was extremely painful. So my toe was broken. I broke my toe. And I can tell you that after that, for the next several weeks, the whole focus of my life seemed to be about my toe, right? My little toe made a big difference in my life. So, you know, the littlest things sometimes can really change our lives. And so Jesus, though, he was all about meeting people at their point of need. And so he cared about and he wanted to help people. And another thing that's really kind of neat, not just when you're injured, the Bible says that when one part is honored, we all rejoice with it. When I was in high school, many, many years ago, a long time ago, I threw the javelin. I was on the track team. And in order to be lazy, I threw the javelin so I didn't have to run. I did run on the relay teams, but I would spend most of my time throwing the javelin because it was easy. And so I did that a lot. Well, I won district in my junior year, then I won district in my senior year. And when you win district, they have an award ceremony and you go up on the podium and all that. Well, my arm is the one that did all the work, but I didn't just say, oh, you go up there, arm, and you go ahead and get the award. No, I had to go with my arm, right? And so when one part rejoices, we all rejoice with it. That's the idea of how the body of Christ is to work. So when we talk about ministering to the body or a body ministry Sunday, we're talking about ministering to people who have needs. And you come in here with different needs. You might come in here with spiritual needs, mental needs, emotional needs. We want to minister to the whole person. And you know what you see when Jesus was ministering to people, when he touched their lives, they were never the same after that. You know, over and over you read things about Jesus and just beautiful things about Jesus. I can tell you, if I could, I would only teach the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we go through the whole entire Bible like we do. But those are my favorite books to teach. And the reason they are my favorite books to teach is because I love to learn about and see and talk about Jesus and how he was. But we see that Jesus, he had compassion on the crowds. We just learned that there were these large crowds following Jesus. When Jesus looked out, he had compassion on the crowds and he ministered to the crowds. And at one point it tells us he felt sorry for them. He was moved with compassion towards them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And you know, you think about that. That was back then, but it's still the same today. People back then were harassed and helpless. They were lost like sheep without a shepherd. And you see, in our culture today, there are still people the same way. Today, people are harassed. Some people are helpless. They're lost. And it's interesting that Jesus, he came to minister to those people. And the word that's used for harassed means to be cast down, thrown down to the ground, cast aside in want of care. People that were cast aside in want of care. Jesus ministered to those people. Now, some of you this morning may have walked into church feeling weary or harassed. Maybe you're harassed this morning by circumstances in your life. Maybe you're harassed by marital problems. Maybe you're harassed by financial woes. Maybe you're harassed at your job. I know that for years when I worked in the secular job, it was hard. And working for bosses that were not believers and that were treated people badly and stuff. I remember going to work on Monday morning, and every Sunday I would get sick, literally sick to my stomach, because I knew I had to go to work for this boss that was just a jerk. And finally, the Lord did a great work in his life and changed him, but it was just hard, I remember. And so I remember feeling harassed by my job. Maybe you feel harassed by fears, or maybe you're harassed by family problems or relationship problems in your family, or maybe you're harassed by anxiety or by worry, or you're harassed by depression or discouragement, or maybe you're harassed with a health issue, or maybe you're harassed by COVID. It's crazy how many people are so freaked out of their minds by COVID, deathly afraid that they're going to catch COVID and they're going to die, or they're going to give COVID to their grandma and grandpa and they're going to die, or you know, whatever. And people are just harassed by it. You know, Jesus saw people, and here's the thing, he saw people, he didn't get irritated with them like I sometimes do because I'm not Jesus, but you know, Jesus didn't get irritated with them. When he saw them and he saw that they were harassed, he had compassion on them. And he wanted to help them. He wanted to meet them at their point of need. And it's so neat when you think about the word compassion itself. It's a Greek word that I can't even pronounce. It's so long, I won't even try it. I'll mess it up. But it means this, to be stirred or moved in one's innermost being at the very center or seat of love and pity. So that was Jesus. He saw people and he was moved in his innermost being, the center of love and pity. And so I've heard this definition of compassion. I love it. Compassion is your pain in my heart. I love that. That was Jesus. He was compassionate. Your pain, Jesus feels your pain in his heart. So when we think about Jesus, we shouldn't think about Jesus as being, you know, yeah, he lived way back then in the Bible, you know, a couple thousand years ago, some really nice stories about Jesus. No, Jesus is alive and working and at work right now, caring about you and caring about me right now in this room. He loves us and he cares for us. He sees what we're going through. And whatever is happening in your life this morning, he knows about it. In fact, when you were in the bathroom this morning, getting ready and combing your hair, a couple of your hairs probably went boop, boop, and flew out, popped out. Well, he knows even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. He cares about every detail of our lives. So what is Jesus doing? In the scripture, he invites us to come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And maybe you've come in here and you need rest. You're tired of being harassed. You're weary, you're burdened, and you need a touch from the Lord. Well, Jesus is saying, come to me. It's his invitation to all of us. Hebrews 4:15 describes Jesus as our high priest. And it says, who was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I love that. Jesus understands what we go through as a human because he came into this world and lived in this world for 33 years as a human. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses. And we're told about him in that chapter that we can approach his throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I love that. In other words, we can come to the Lord and whatever we have a need of, we can receive. If we need mercy or we need grace or strength, he will be there to help us in our time of need. So maybe you've come in here feeling harassed and you need mercy. You need grace. Well, in a few minutes, what we're going to do, we want to invite you to come up for prayer and walk up to the front by faith. I know it's hard to get up, and maybe you feel embarrassed. Don't, because we're all here. We're all in the same boat together. But we're going to invite you to come up, and we're going to invite you to tell us what we can pray for you for, and we want to lift up your needs before the Lord in prayer. And so you might have come in this morning. Maybe you've come in here hurt or wounded. Maybe you've come in here feeling sad or sorrowful over something. Maybe you've even come in here feeling angry. You know, you're angry inside because of something that's happened to you recently, something someone did to you recently. Or maybe even worse than that, it's been a long time ago that something happened to you in your past and you're angry and you're carrying around bitterness. Well, I believe that the Lord wants you to be free from that. He wants to break the ball and chain so you don't have to carry that any longer. You know, you can't run a race with a ball and chain. That's why the Bible says to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And so Jesus has come to free us. He wants to relieve us of that pain and that heartache that's been affecting us or hindering our progress or maybe even controlling our thoughts or our emotions. It's enslaved us. It's affected our moods. It's affected our sleep. I have this Fitbit now, and it's interesting. This Fitbit, I don't know how it does it, but it tells me how much I've been sleeping lately. And I was looking at it the other night, and I was like, man, I'm getting like 3 hours of sleep, you know, 4 hours of sleep. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And, you know, part of it is when you get old, you have to get up to go pee. Well, that's what's wrong with me. And so, anyways, TMI, right? Too much information. But anyway, it's really, you know, I've even thought about maybe I should try some Depends. No, I'm not going to do it. So, Mike, you try it out first and let me know how it works. He's older than me, so I'm teasing him. But anyway, he's an old grandpa, old man. So you might have come in here and maybe you've been wounded. You know, maybe something's happened to you. Here, I just want to encourage you to know that the Lord can heal you. Maybe you've come in here and you've been betrayed. Maybe your spouse has been unfaithful. Or maybe something horrible happened in your past, like you were raped or you were molested. And you know, you're struggling with guilt, or maybe you had an abortion. The reason I say all those things is because that happened to me when I was younger. I was molested as a little boy, and it really messed me up for a long time. I struggled with guilt and heartache and pain and sorrow, and I didn't tell anybody for so long. No one even knew I was ever molested, nobody, until I got married and I confessed it to my wife with tears. I wept, I remember. And so a lot of you maybe have come in here and you've been wounded in the past and you need healing. I'm here to tell you, the reason I tell you all that is that the Lord can heal you. The Lord can cleanse you. He can change you. He can take away the hurt. He can take away the anger. He can take away the bitterness that's destroying your life. And he can remove the guilt maybe that's hindering you from progressing. And yes, it's hard, but Jesus can help us and we can start brand new. And that's what's so wonderful about the power of Jesus Christ. He can break every chain. And he came to set the captives free. He came to set prisoners free, to set at liberty those who were enslaved, those who were oppressed. Scripture says about Jesus, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Maybe you came in here and you're just barely hanging on. Well, and you're bruised. He's not going to break you. Smoldering wick. He's going to fan into flame. He's not going to blow the smoldering wick out. And so that's the Lord. He cares about us, and he offers to us forgiveness. Maybe you've come in here feeling guilt because of your life. And I'm telling you, the Lord can take away the guilt, and he can forgive you. And he's come to for that very reason. And that's what Jesus is all about. So he wants to set us free. Break the chains. Set us free from the prison cells that we've been in. 1 Peter 5:6 says this, and this is important for us, because it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety or all your cares on him, because he cares for you. So yeah, it's a little hard to walk up here and ask for prayer. Yeah, but you got to humble yourself. Maybe you're here this morning and you're searching for truth and purpose and meaning. Maybe you've been walking in the darkness and just kind of groping through life, and your life is just without direction. Well, here's the thing. You give your life to Christ, and Jesus said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. You'll have purpose, you'll have meaning, and you'll have eternal life when you give your life to Christ. And so if you're here and you need to give your life to Christ, we invite you to come up and say, hey man, I want to give my life to the Lord. And there's Samantha right there. I'm going to throw up Samantha. I'm going to do what do they call it nowadays, the young people. I'm going to put her on blast. You ever heard that? I heard that one time. Hey, you put them on blast. I'm like, what's that? You know, because I'm old, and so I don't know the new sayings. Anyway, it's like throwing her under the bus. But anyway, Samantha, on one of our first Bible studies, I'll never forget this. At the end of the Bible study, we were meeting at Mrs. C's house over there, and I said, is there any prayer requests in this room? And she says, me? And I said, oh, okay, yeah. I pointed out, and she goes, I go, what do you need? And she said, I'm not saved, and I need to be. Or whatever I want to be. And I'm like, well, let's do it right now. It was so cool. So maybe you're here this morning and you need to give your life to Christ. I want to encourage you to do that. Here's the thing. So often, we're trying to fill the void inside of us with all the things of the world, and they don't work. Maybe you've come in here and just, you've been trying to fill the void with drugs and alcohol and popularity and sex and all this stuff, and you just keep feeling empty inside. Well, the Lord has come to take away that from us and give us meaning and purpose. When I gave my life to the Lord 40 years ago, it became very clear to me that Jesus had a plan and a purpose for my life. And I can tell you, I'm standing up here this morning because of his plan and because of his purpose. He put me here, and when he first called me into the ministry, I was like, he said to me, I want you to be a pastor. I was like, what's that? I don't know what a pastor is, but that was his plan and his purpose. And I'm so blessed to be able to serve the Lord like I do right now. And it's just the Lord. He's done all of these things. And one of the guys, after the first service, we went over to look at the new facility over there, and we were just walking around. I'm explaining what's going to happen in this building and all that. And I said, I told him, what's amazing to me? When we moved here 28 years or 29 years ago, whatever it was, I had no idea any of this stuff would happen. But I said, it's been the Lord the whole time. And the Lord has just, I didn't come with a master plan. I just came, go there and teach the Bible to people. And the Lord has done so many wonderful things. And when we surrender our lives to him, he just does great things in our lives and through our lives. And he surprises me all the time. So, wherever you're at this morning, maybe you're here and you think, oh man, I got all these giant problems. There's nothing that's too big for the Lord to handle. Or maybe there's small, irritating things. There's nothing too small for the Lord to handle either. He cares about every aspect of our lives. And finally, maybe you're here this morning and you're a prodigal son or you're a prodigal daughter. Maybe you have drifted away from the Lord and you know that it's time for you to come back. Or maybe even worse than that, not only have you drifted from the Lord, you've gone into out-and-out rebellion against the Lord, and you're back in the pigsty of where you once were, and now you're running away from God. But I can tell you this, the Lord is waiting for you to come back with open arms and to recommit your heart and your life to Christ. And he's there waiting for you to come home. All you have to do is respond and come to him, and the Lord will receive you. So whatever your need is this morning, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you're going through, God already knows, first of all, God already knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through. Nothing's a surprise to him. But you have to be willing to come to him by faith. And I can tell you this, the Lord is the ultimate gentleman. He will not force his way in. We have to open the door. In the book of Revelation, speaking to the church, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he knocks. And he says, "If anyone opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with him and he with me." But he's not going to kick the door down. He's going to let you say, "Yes, Lord, I want you to come in. I want you to do a work in my life today." And so if that's you, I'm encouraging you to do that. Just to say, "Lord, I need you. I'm here. I'm crying out to you. And I want you to do a fresh and a new work in my life. Or I need help in this area. I need prayer answered." Whatever it may be. And so what's going to happen now is the worship team's going to come up. They're going to lead us in worship. And here's the thing. We got 15 minutes or so left in the service. We're going to have a group of leaders up here to pray with you. Just come up and say, "Here's what you need to do." Come up and say what your name is, okay? Say, "Hi, my name is," if it was me, "Hi, my name is Joseph. And I'm here, I need prayer for this." And the reason I'm telling you to do that is because I'm saying it for my sake. Because if you come up and I already know you, there's a very good possibility that I might have a brain freeze at that moment and be very embarrassed and go, "What's your name again?" So if you just tell me, it's better for me, see? And so, and for all of us, just say, "Tell us what your name is and what your prayer need is, and we'll be up here." And then for you that aren't, maybe you come here and everything's been great. In the book of James, it says, if any of you is happy, let him sing songs of praise. You know, but if you're struggling, you know, call the elders of the church, pray over you, anoint you with oil. We can do that as well. If you're sick, whatever your need may be this morning, we want to meet you where you're at and bring you and your need before the Lord. Pray together and ask the Lord to intervene on your behalf. Amen? So that's what we're going to do now. So let's go ahead and start worship, and you guys can just come up. There'll be people up here to pray with you. Just come on up, and we'll pray for you.